We'll look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And then we'll read through to verse 40. And then we'll seek to, like I mentioned, focus in the book of Judges. Verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens or the strangers. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance." Isn't that amazing? "That they might obtain a better resurrection." Talk about a heavenly vision. "And others that had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." Verse 38 is one of my favorite verses. "Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." And so in verse 32, how it goes on to list these different ones, we heard of Gideon. We looked through, the life of Gideon last week. And then it's gone on to mention Barak, although chronologically Barak was actually before Gideon. And so although in verse 32, it hasn't listed them necessarily chronologically in the order in which they came, as I mentioned even last week, it's the whole point of even him mentioning them and even the details thereafter. It's not that all these ones concerning Gideon, Barak, Samson and so forth, and then he just says all the prophets as well. And then he goes on to list this, these criteria or characteristics or these things that they faced. It's not that every single one of them faced the same thing. But it's in essence saying faith could lead you to this. And these different ones face different things concerning the descriptions in which we read through. But this evening, we're going to look at Barak. And then after Barak, we'll seek to glean some things from the life of Jephthah, which should be interesting. Let's turn, if you will, to, if you have your Bibles there, to Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4, and before we begin, Jephthah, we'll come back to Hebrews 11 just to refresh. And so if you look in your notes there, so we'll be looking at Barak first. If you look with me there, in the introduction, Hebrews 11 has mentioned Barak by name as an example of faith to follow after or learn from. There is not much detail given of Barak save what is found in Judges chapter 4 and 5. Although he himself was not called to be the judge over Israel at this time, there was a call given to carry out a certain task set before him. He was not necessarily what you would call a brave, bold and courageous man, as we would often think a warrior to be. Yet he had a faith that God has recorded down in his word for all his children to observe, which is interesting. Although the account in Judges 4 and 5 has elevated or presented Deborah to be the judge, which is true, of Israel, Hebrews 11 has made mention of Barak as the example of faith. And so this study will seek to focus purely on Barak and what the Lord did in his life that has granted him the honor of being exalted as an example of true faith. Hebrews 11 is simply a presentation and demonstration of real people with real life testimonies crying out that the life of faith is the only life worth living as a child of God, and helping us to see that in truth the Lord Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. And so we'll seek to glean some things concerning Barak's life. I couldn't find any details concerning his exact time of birth or even his exact time of death. He's mentioned 14 times in the scriptures. You see there in that front page there listed. We know where the account is found in Judges 4 and 5. And there are some key verses and even some character points. If you turn over with me there in the page 2, you see, as I always try to incorporate, an outline summary of the account of Barak throughout the scriptures. And so we see in Judges 4 and 5. If you notice with me in Judges chapter 4, verse 8, where Barak proves Deborah's prophecy, I've labeled that. It's the famous verse that we all know concerning Barak, where people have, I guess, divided opinions and thoughts concerning Barak's response, in essence saying, if you go, I'll go. If you don't go, I'm not going. And so we'll be gleaning some things from that too. And then Judges chapter 5, going through that, it was in essence a chapter of praise. Just praising the Lord for several things, for the victory, for the preservation of his people, for the yielded willing servants, for deliverance, for the people of God. It's interesting there, even when you look between verses 13 and 18, even for those that did help and those that didn't help. It was just a praise for the people of God. Praise the Lord for the people of God. Praise the Lord for fighting our battles or our enemies. Praise the Lord for Jael. I don't know if I'll be touching on her again. The temptation is to touch on that, but I'll be seeking to focus on Barak. And praise the Lord for justice. Amen. And praise the Lord for rest. And we read how Israel rested after the deliverance given to Barak. So we're going to look at 3 points. We're going to look at Barak's sincere faith, his surrendered faith, and a singing faith. And as we saw there already in Judges chapter 5, you can see that true faith, you can't help but praise the Lord, and there's always specific praise, but we'll get there. But let's consider first this, a sincere faith. And so the Lord's call, I've got under there, under that point there, I've written, the Lord will not let you forget his call. Look with me in Judges chapter 4 verse 6. So Deborah, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh, Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, and then goes on to give the command. Nowhere in scripture can we necessarily refer back to or connect to see where the Lord gave a specific command to Barak. But what's implied here and very clearly indicated is that Deborah is in essence reminding Barak of the call that God gave him, because hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, so there was a command given, an instruction given to Barak at some point in time. Again, the scripture doesn't record exactly when and where and how, but it was. And so you see Deborah, the Lord using Deborah, who was a prophetess, reminding Barak of his call. Now, concerning Deborah, let me just say, so I don't, the thought is not there in the minds of everyone, let me just address very quickly. Though Deborah was called to be the judge over Israel, and although Deborah was a prophetess, as we see, it's not uncommon that there were lady prophetesses, it doesn't necessarily mean that they were standing behind pulpits and preaching the word of God to the congregation of Israel. Yes, the Lord did communicate to them certain revelations, which they did communicate to the men or people of God. But we see even a description concerning Deborah, a title that was given to her, is that she was a mother to Israel. And so that just tells of her tenderness, humbleness, and so forth. You don't see Deborah ruling or leading in any way. Deborah is simply clearly communicating what God has said and communicating that to Barak. We understand from Scripture God has not called men to, ladies to lead from the very beginning. Since the fall, because sin entered in, it's recorded there in Genesis chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, that ladies are going to want to rule or lead of their husbands. That tendency is going to be there, but the Lord does not want them to. You see that in Genesis chapter 3, verses 15 and 16.
It's written in the epistles. We know very clearly that the ladies are not to teach or usurp authority over a man. It's not a matter of supremacy. It's purely a matter of roles and functions in the body. It's not that the man is superior to the woman. It's just purely how God has designed it and ordained it. That's all it is. She is the weaker vessel. We know that ladies tend to often respond emotionally, whereas men tend to think logically and soberly. And again, it's not a matter of whatever it is, it's just the reality. And so we see that also. But in Genesis 2:18, we see that God has created women to be helpers. And they are helping. And we can see even in Deborah, how the Lord used Deborah to the extent that he did. And let me just say in conclusion concerning women ruling. If you reference back to Isaiah chapter 3 verse 12, when women rule, it's actually a sign of the judgment of God. And so I just wanted to say that just in clarity, in passing. We'll not be focusing necessarily on Deborah, not to undermine what the Lord has done through her and communicated with her. As we're going to see, the Lord used Deborah to communicate this revelation to Barak. But we see, in essence, Barak leading, and he was the one that led in the battle, and so on and so forth. Let's continue. We see again, hath not the Lord commanded? So he was reminded, and I've written there that the Lord often uses his children to call or prompt others in God's calling. We see also in letter B there that the Lord, through Deborah, assures Barak of his support and success. We see in Judges chapter 4 verse 7, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera. Sisera was the general or the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And so you see the Lord is specific with this call concerning the task that he wants you to perform. If the Lord has called you to a task, you're not left guessing what is it and how do I do it and so on and so forth. We just see that it's always specific. And in a note down there in the bottom of page 3, it is not an uncommon thing for God to use his children to call or prompt others concerning the call of God to the ministry. We see how God used Moses to call Aaron, Elijah to call Elisha, Samuel to anoint David, the disciples to appoint elders, and so forth. Although God uses his children to call or prompt others to the ministry, the call is always recognized by others. We can see a glimpse of that in Acts chapter 6. And the call is always specific in what part of the body God would have you to function in unity with the whole body. Even though God uses his children in this way, the called must always see confirmation of the Lord, lest he step by faith on the word of man alone. And if that's the case, then his failure is inevitable. It's only a matter of time. You can't just go purely on the word of man. Look, for example, before I share the testimony, let's continue. Point number 2, the Lord's confirmation. The Lord will always confirm his call. He always does. We see there in letter A, Barak seeks confirmation. And this is the verse that I said we're going to look a little bit into. So Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And I've noted there that true faith always sincerely seeks God's confirmation. And then you see that Barak gets the confirmation, and she said, I will surely go with thee. And I've noted there that true faith always waits for God's confirmation. Barak was not faithless to say, Deborah, I'm too scared to go unless you go. You've got to come with me, otherwise I'm not going. I don't believe that's what Barak meant by verse 8. I believe Barak was purely proving or testing Deborah's prophecy, if you will. Deborah, if what you're saying is true, then come. You go. But if you don't go, then I'm not going. Do you know why? You don't even believe your own prophecy. And so he's proving the prophecy. In other words, he's seeking the confirmation. And so in making that request to Deborah, I believe he was purely confirming the call of God, or even the prophecy of Deborah. Because we know in Scripture what God says about those that prophesy and does not come to pass, or those that stand up and speak and in the Lord's name, but it's not the Lord's not in it. And so for Deborah to say, I will surely go, you can see the assurance in her heart. That was the confirmation enough for Barak. And so you see Barak, in essence, sincerely seeking confirmation concerning this call to this task from the Lord. I remember concerning the call to be an evangelist that the Lord confirmed in my heart did not come directly and initially even from the Lord. And this is what I mean by it. The Lord, as I was growing in the faith and living for the Lord, many a people told me, brother, you're an evangelist, you're a missionary, you're an evangelist, you're a missionary. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? And I sincerely didn't know what they were talking about. I'm just thinking, I'm just being a Christian. And I don't know how many people told me, you're an evangelist, you're a missionary, you're an evangelist, you're a missionary, and so on and so forth. And I'd come before the Lord and I'll think, Lord, I just want to be a Christian. And I don't mind where it is or how it is. I just want to be a Christian until... and then also the Lord brought along Brother James Hood. I don't know if you've met him or familiar with him. And Brother James Hood is a dear brother of mine. And we sat together and we'd always have sweet fellowship. And he was... he's always taken great interest in my life. And he just started to prompt me with some questions about how I felt about the church and how I felt about certain circumstances and how I felt about certain conditions and what kind of burdens are constantly coming up in my heart. And as I'd communicate those things to him, he said, brother, I'm not the Lord, but it just sounds like the Lord wants you to be an evangelist. And he said, I'm an evangelist. And I know that's the burden of an evangelist. And I just told him, brother, I'm willing, you know, whatever the Lord wants. And I came to God that night, sincerely seeking the confirmation of his call. And I said, Lord, I really don't mind. I really don't mind what you want me to do. But I really don't want to stand up and give a testimony saying that James Hood called me to be an evangelist. And I didn't. And so I said, Lord, I don't mind. But I need your confirmation. And literally the very next day in the chapel message at Bible College, the preacher opened up the Bible and the devotion was, do the work of an evangelist. And so let me say this, was that coincidence? You can call it for whatever you want. But when you sincerely seek, perhaps you see the calling of God upon your life, people recognizing it, mentioning it, you're willing for whatever. But when you sincerely seek the confirmation of God's call upon your life, he will grant it. He knows your sincerity. And so that's where we see in Barak, from what I've observed, he has a sincere faith. Barak confirmed the Lord's call, and so faith confirms the Lord's call in simple application. Point two there, we see that he not only had a sincere faith, but a surrendered faith. We see now, we consider the Lord's command. Works of faith are always done according to God's word. According to God's word. Barak did as the Lord said. We see in verses 9 and 10. In verses 9 and 10, it says there, and Barak went to Kadesh, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali in Kadesh, and went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. And you see, faith always performs in unison to God's word. Now, the Lord gave that command in verse 6. And you see, I didn't continue reading it there earlier, but it says, go draw towards Mount Tabor and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun. And so you see, there was a clear instruction given to how to carry out the call or the task that was given to Barak. And so once Barak had that confirmation concerning the call or the task, that he pretty much surrendered to that and he followed after that. And so you see, as soon as he got that confirmation, exactly how the Lord commanded him to go and call these different ones and that specific number of 10,000, that's exactly what he did in verses 9 and 10 as we observed there. And then you also see in letter B that Barak's obedience, this is interesting, initiated the Lord's promise. Notice what I mean here. In verses 11 to 13, you read of Heba or Heba, however you want to pronounce his name, the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses. That's interesting. This is Moses' brother-in-law, Heba. And anyway, so he saw, in essence, that Barak was bringing together these different ones, and there was 10,000 standing there. And so he went and showed Sisera that what Barak was doing, that he had come up to Mount Tabor, and that Sisera gathered, you see, all his children, all his chariots, not children, all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. Now look, I've written down there that faith initiates the promise of God. You say, what are you talking about? God gave Barak clear instruction. Once Barak received that confirmation concerning his call, he then surrendered to that and obeyed by faith and went and did exactly what the Lord commanded. Now, upon that obedience to that direct command in gathering Israelites and those 10,000 men, well, then that caused Heber to observe and go to Sisera, which caused Sisera to gather together all his chariots of iron and all the people of Harosheth and Gentiles and so forth. And you see, that's a fulfillment of chapter verse 7. Well, what did the Lord say? The Lord says, I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera. The Lord said, I'm going to do this. The captain of Jabin's army with his chariots and his multitude, and I'll deliver him unto thine hand. But you're thinking, now hang on a minute. It's Heba went and did that, and Sisera gathered them together, and that's why they're there. What do you mean the Lord was going to do that? Faith initiates the Lord's promise. We don't know how the Lord does things sometimes, but we know He knows the end from the beginning. And when He gives us a command to obey, and when we obey that by faith, you see the Lord's plan unfolding. What we see outwardly is Moses' brother-in-law going and being an informer to Sisera, and Sisera goes and gathers his chariots and gathers the army. And outwardly, we might think, oh no, but God, what God is saying is perfect. Spot on. Exactly going according to plan. And so you see how, beloved, when we don't understand it all, but when we just obey, we just obey what God has revealed in essence, what God has given us to do, what God has commanded us. Faith initiates the promise of God. He said He'll deliver them. And then you see in point two there that the Lord fights the battle. God will fight for His children that live by faith. That's a promise. The Lord, through Deborah, reassures Barak of His promise. And we see that in Judges chapter 4, in the beginning, the first half there of verse 14. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone before thee? You see that assurance given to Barak. And so faith leaves the fight in the Lord's hands. If the Lord's going to deliver the victory, if the Lord's gone before us and the Lord's going to do this, then be sure not to take it into your own hands. Have you ever taken an instruction God has given you and something you know He wants you to do, but you've taken it into your own hands? You all know what I'm talking about? Have you ever done that before? We make a mess of it, don't we? And it never works out like God wants it to. We see even examples of that in Scripture. We were talking about it just today in the car. Who was it? Jacob's, I forget her name, mum. Rebecca, is it? Rebecca? Yes, Jacob's wife. No, not Jacob's wife. Isaac's wife. And anyway, so we see that the promise was given to Jacob, wasn't it? And we see that he was going to be, in essence, not Esau, but he was the chosen one of God. But this is what happened. We see in Scripture how Rebekah was being deceptive, and then you still see God honoring His promise. He was always going to be that promised child to perform what God has called him to perform. But you don't see how God wanted to do it, because Deborah manipulated the situation. And so we don't see and read in Scripture how the Lord actually did want to perform it. And so you miss out on how God wants to do things sometimes when you take control of what God has promised. And like I said, we always make a mess of it. We see the fruit of that in Hagar and Ishmael and through the Ishmaelites, don't we? The promise given to Abraham. And then what took place there? They didn't leave it in the hand of God to deliver His promise. And they took it into their own hands, and we're still reaping the consequence of that today, aren't we? And so the point is this, beloved, if God is going to fight the battle, God promised something that He is going to deliver, then wait on Him, because, like I said, the faith leaves the fight in the Lord's hand. And we see in the second half there of verse 14 that so after Deborah communicated to Barak to get up and go because the Lord's delivered the battle into your hands, you see that Barak went. He got up and he went. And we see that faith obeys right away. Once the Lord's revealed something to you, what you see concerning the characteristic of faith obeys right away. Letter C, the Lord is faithful to his word. The Lord promised to deliver. We read there in verse 15 that the Lord discomfited Sisera. Faith always rests on God's faithfulness. Look, if God said he's going to do it, then trust him. Just rest in that. Why fret and how's he going to do it and when's he going to do it? And no, just rest in that. And you see that the Lord discomfited Sisera. And letter D, Barak, you see, although the Lord was doing this, Barak and certain men fled away from the battle. And so letter D, you see how Barak pursued those that got away. And in verses 16 to 17, and then even again in verses 16 to 17, he pursued those that got away. And they all fell pretty much by the sword, except for one, Sisera, who still got away somehow and sought to find refuge in the tent of Jael, who was Heber's wife, who was in essence Moses' sister-in-law, which was an interesting connection I found. And you see, he sought to find refuge there. And so Barak pursued, and they all fell by the sword except for Sisera. And so because Sisera got away, what did Barak do? He persisted and continued to pursue, and only to find again the job was already done when he got there. As we heard preached on the MBF, Jael nailed it. And so what you see there is faith finishes the course. Faith always finishes the course. And we all think of what Paul said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. And so you see, faith finishes the course, and again, as always, the Lord gave the victory. You see there in verses 23 and 24, and so God subdued on that day. And you see again, the Lord is the one that gives the victory. If you ever think the victory comes from your hands, that's when you're going to be lifted up in pride. And anyone who starts to claim the glory that belongs to God, well, we see, I understand Herod was an unsaved man, but you see exactly what took place with Herod, how he was struck down. Why? Because he took the glory that belonged to God and God alone. God won't share his glory with any man. He won't share his praise in any man. We know that, for he is God alone. And so we see faith is the victory. Barak carried out the Lord's commands, and faith carries out the Lord's commands. If you feel like I'm rushing through this, it's because time is getting away. And I do desire to get also to Jephthah. So you see, Barak, sincere faith, a surrendered faith to the end, and that's what faith does, perseveres to the end. And you see in Judges chapter 5, in essence, a singing faith. Barak praises the Lord. Yes, it was not only him, it was Deborah also. And you see that Barak praises the Lord individually in verses 1 and 2. That he praised the Lord, and let it be, Barak praises the Lord openly. Hear, O ye kings, in verse 3 of chapter 5. Give ye, O ye princes, I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise unto the God of Israel. And Barak praises the Lord specifically. If you go back to that outline there in page number 2, and the outline of Judges chapter 5, all the specific things that they praised the Lord for. And you see, faith always gives God the glory. Faith always praises God openly. You're not ashamed of what God is doing. And you see, faith can always praise God in all things and praise Him specifically. It's not just a broad thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for health and thank you for the... You know what I'm saying? It's not just... It's a specific thing. Why? Because God has specifically carried you through things and you can sincerely seek God's specific deliverances and victories. And so therefore you can praise God specifically and testify openly. Barak complimented the Lord's conquests or victories. And so you see, that's what faith does too. It always praises God for His glorious victories. And the conclusion there is on the back. So that's the Hebrews 11 concerning Barak. Forgive me if that in any way was rushed through. I just also desire to get through Jephthah and hope it'll be a blessing to you as well. Barak, interesting, definitely interesting character. I enjoyed that.